Chapter number 36 in your Bible, actually chapter 35 and 36. We have a lot of ground to cover this morning and a little bit of time to get it done. So just as fast as you will listen, we will get done. Exodus chapter 36, we'll start reading. We'll go back and look at chapter 35 as well. Stand with me. We'll honor God's word as we read it. Verse 1 of chapter 36. I'll tell you ahead of time, I will mess up these pronunciations of these words. Don't hold that against me. If you can do better, I'll come up here. I'll give you the microphone and let you read for me. But these are some of them Old Testament names that everybody thinks God, their parents, didn't name them. So verse 1, the Bible says, "Then wrought Bezalel and Aholab and every wise-hearted man, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholab and every wise-hearted man, in whose heart the Lord hath put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary and to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made." Verse 5. "And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make." Did you catch that? Let me read that again. "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing." They had to be stopped and restrained from bringing more. What a testimony. Verse 7, "For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." Boy, that is amazing. We do not have that problem in 2021 in the local church. You can have a seat, and thank you for standing. I want to preach this morning with the help of God on the heart. How to have a right heart. I was amazed when I got to studying just how much, I knew the heart is all through the Word of God, but it's amazing how much of the Bible deals with the heart. And it's been said the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart, and how true. So I want to look at how to have a right heart this morning. And going back to the text we just read, what caused this to happen? What caused the people to get up out of their lethargy and out of their norm and to bring so much of their stuff, so much of their belongings, and to bring it to the house of God for the sanctuary, for serving, and to where it was said that it was sufficient for the work to make it, and too much. What caused that? Something happened. And over in chapter 35 and 36, if you just want to go through there and highlight, I won't take the time to do it this morning, but you just underscore how many times the word heart is mentioned. It's over and over and over. Moses is delivering the word of God to the people of God concerning the work of God, and he makes it clear that if the work of God is going to be successful, it has to be built with the right heart. And that's the context of this situation. Keep in mind, this is Old Testament. I understand you know what's going on here. They're getting ready to build and bless the tabernacle that God had commanded in detail that they do. And so they had to have a right heart in order to do this great work of God. It couldn't be done half-heartedly. If it was going to be done, the tabernacle as we know it, that great place that God met, that great place that had an altar where they would come and meet with God and sacrifice and give offerings to God, it had to be done with a right heart. And these people were fired up about it. I'll say more about that in a minute. But they were stirred in the heart. And you can't get to a stirred heart without going through a couple of other places dealing with the heart. And I want to go through that in just a moment. But the heart is what's being dealt with. The Bible has a lot to say about the heart. Did you know the Bible mentions the heart over 800 times? That's a lot. The first mention principle, you know, well, you hear something or read something for the first time, that same connotation carries throughout the Word of God. You know where the word heart is mentioned the first time in your Bible? It's Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Listen, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. That's the first time we read about the heart. And it's saying concerning man that the man's heart, that humanity's heart, is evil. And boy, that carries throughout the Word of God and throughout history and in our lifetime. Men's heart are evil. We're born that way. You don't know when the second mention is made? I found this so interesting. I've never seen this before. Genesis 6, 5, first mention. Genesis 6, 6, the very next verse. Listen, it ain't talking about man's heart here. The Bible says in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You say, well, goodness, it's starting out depressing. Listen, man's heart is interested in evil. But ain't you glad to know God's heart is interested in man? Even though our heart is bent toward evil, God's heart is bent toward man. Amen. Yes. Well, that's wonderful. And that same connotation carries throughout the Word of God. When I use the word heart this morning, please understand, I'm not referring to this muscle in our chest that pumps blood. No, and that's not what the Word of God is speaking of either. The heart is the real you. The heart is what you love, what you want, what you desire. It's who you are when nobody's looking. That's the heart that the Bible speaks about. Listen to Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus said, out of the heart proceedeth evil. Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. But the Bible also says about our heart, Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible, it 80 different descriptions or conditions of the heart. Over 80. I knew there was a lot. I did not realize there were 80. All these are hearts in the Bible that we read about that people had and that was described and descriptive of who and the condition of their heart. Meaning, all the way in 2021, sitting right here in our service, we too can have these hearts that the Bible is speaking of. And I want to say this first of all. I do not want this kind of heart that I'm about to read to you. I'm going to give you some of the descriptions, some of the names right out of the Word of God. The Bible refers to a hard heart, a foolish heart, a blinded heart, a deceived heart, a bitter heart, strife-filled heart, subtle heart, an evil heart, perverse heart, sick heart, a backslidden heart, double heart, hypocritical heart, hard heart, haughty heart, stony heart, covetousness heart, proud heart, rebellious hearts, fearful hearts, fretful hearts, whorish hearts, turn back hearts, secretive hearts, uncircumcised hearts, and impenitent hearts. And that's just some. But that gives you an idea. There's a lot of evil hearts. I don't want that kind of heart. I'm sure you would answer quickly. You do not want that kind of heart. But I want to ask you this morning, does it bother you? Sometimes I feel within my own self, my own heart growing cold and hard. And it bothers me when I can see things and it not bother me and it not grip my heart and move me. I realize my heart has become hard and I don't like that. I like being touchable. I don't like getting to a place where nothing bothers me. And when I get to that place, it bothers me that I'm not bothered. When I can hear of somebody being killed and slaughtered or hear how many babies have been butchered and it no longer bother me, it tells me my heart has become hard. When I can hear the Word of God preached and it not prick my heart, it bothers me. And you know this morning how many people sit on church pews in the Baptist denomination, even independent, fundamental, King James Bible, toting and believing people who come in and week out and hear the Word of God expounded and it does not bother us. That, my friend, speaks of the condition of the heart. If God's Word never challenges you or convicts you to make change, I promise you, your heart is in a terrible place. It bothers me that it don't bother you. Amen. That you never are moved by the Word of God. Some people, I've been pastoring here going on 3 years. Some people I've never seen make a trip to the altar. And I know you may be more spiritual than me, but God bless your heart. You ain't that spiritual. None of you. Amen. Let me rephrase that. None of us. Amen. You need to do business with God as much as I do. And when our heart's not moved and pricked, it lets us know we have got into a place that we have no business being. And it's a dangerous place. But there are other kinds of hearts in the Word of God. This kind of heart I want. Listen to some of these descriptions. Pure hearts, good hearts, rejoicing hearts, true hearts, melodious hearts, established hearts, a forgiving heart, a settled heart, a comforted heart, a directed heart, a sanctified heart, an assured heart, a heart of integrity, glad hearts, upright hearts, sound hearts, prepared hearts, studying hearts, a clean heart, an enduring heart, a revived heart, a panting heart, a fixed heart, a perfect heart, a merry heart, a soft heart, a lowly heart, and a pondering heart. That's some others on the positive side. And I do want to be in that category. Every one of them I just named off, I put my hand high and say, I want to get in the line of getting that kind of heart, whatever it takes. Whatever I have to do to get in that category and out of the other, that's what I want. And I do fail getting there, but I want that. And I hope you do. And if you do, I want to take the Word of God and this story, this part of history out of the Word of God this morning and encourage you how you can have a right heart. Yes. We all need that. See, this is the reality. If our hearts get cold and hard and indifferent, nothing moves us. We become critical. We start complaining and backbiting, moaning and groaning, and nothing's ever good enough. But all in our... Listen, it's the preacher's fault, and it's the Sunday school teacher's fault, and the choir ain't doing good, and the church just ain't what it used to be, and on and on and on. I just wouldn't have done it that way, and on and on and on, and you always got your 2 cents worth. And guess what? Guess who that's helping? Nobody. Your critical spirit ain't helping nobody. And your critical spirit and your complaining tongue says a whole lot more about you than it does who you're talking about. You say, was that aimed toward me? If it fits, baby, wear it. I want to be like Jesus said when he gave that commandment. He said, upon this commandment hang all of them. He said that we love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul and all thy strength. I want to be like David, as the Bible refers to him, as a man after God's own heart. Jesus said about the Pharisees in Matthew 15, 8 and 9, said, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Listen to what it goes on to say. This grabbed me this morning. But in vain they do worship me. I do not want to get to the end of my Christian life and face God realizing then and only then that I have spent my wheels and run for no reason, but simply done all that I'd done, I thought, for God in vain. And these people that Jesus is speaking about, the Pharisees, they were convinced down from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, every fiber of being that they was, they were convinced they were right. And they were wrong. And I'm not above being wrong. And this is the dangerous part about it. If our heart is so hard, we will become just emphatic about how right we are. That's why it's so important that our hearts be moldable and touchable, so that when we are wrong, so when we do veer, that something can touch us and pull us back. And that should be the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. And when preaching ain't touching you and the Word of God ain't touching you, you are in trouble. A hard heart's a dangerous, dangerous condition. I want to have the right heart, don't you? Now let's look at the text this morning and look at three conditions. Goodness alive. Three conditions of the heart. We've got to hurry. It goes in order. It's progressive. In other words, you can't get to the second condition of the heart that we're going to deal with without first getting to the first condition. You can't get to the third condition that we'll look at without going through condition one and two. It progresses. You can't just jump the steps and get to the top. No, you've got to go through these, and it's right here in this text. Number one, a willing heart. Over and over. Read the text, read these two chapters, and you'll see over and over how it speaks of those who had a willing heart. Look at verse 22 of chapter 35. And they came both men and women, and as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets of jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hands of Moses. So there, just in two verses, three or four times, it refers to a willing heart. Their hearts were willing. If you read this chapter, these 19 verses in this chapter, you will see Moses gave the people his heart. He gave the people what God had gave him. He gave them exactly what God had gave him. He was sharing with them his heart and the future and the vision for what was to come. He was telling them, we're going to build for God. We're going to battle for God. This is the tabernacle, and I need your help. That's what Moses is saying. And they followed his willing heart, and they too became willing to work and to bring and to offer and to sacrifice so that the house of God, the tabernacle of God, could be built. Moses could not have done it alone. And I don't care how good of a preacher, how good of a associate pastor, how good of teacher to get. Listen, This church ain't going to be built on one man. It never has. It never will. No preacher, no church can do it all in one or two people. It takes every one of us to build what God wants. I mean, Moses was as good a man of God as you could find. And Moses knew, I've got to have a willing group of people, people with willing hearts, if we're going to build what God wants. And they got willing, and look at the end result. However, Moses delivered his heart. He delivered the word of God to these people. But you will not find them. Read the verses. You will not find Moses anywhere in these verses begging these people and twisting their arm and pleading with them. If you'll do this, and I'm begging you, please come. No, he just got up and delivered the word of God. And they were willing to hear it. And those that wasn't, they didn't. All he did was preach the word to them and tell them what God had told him. And when they heard the words of God, they got willing. They said, I want to do that. I want to be part of this. I want to get involved in what God's doing. And there are many that will sit under preaching and not be moved. And it has no effect. And it don't drive you to want to get willing to get closer to God or get involved with the things of God. Let me say this morning. If that describes you, if preaching don't move you, you are helpless. If preaching don't help you, I promise you this morning, me coming to your house and pleading with you and begging you and pampering you, that ain't going to help you. God chose by the foolishness of preaching. God chose preaching to grow our faith and strengthen us. And if preaching the Word of God don't help you, I can't help you. This church has been meeting on Sunday morning for long as it's been in existence. About 11 o'clock Sunday morning, we have preaching time. It's been that way since I can remember, I'm sure since the beginning. Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Used to be 7, now it's 6. Been that way a long time. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock prayer meeting. Sunday school, 10 o'clock. So you know when we meet. You know when food's put on the table. And Moses simply got up and preached the Word of God. And those who had hearts that were soft enough to be touched, they got willing simply at the Word of God. They didn't have to have programs and be pampered. No, they just simply heard the Word of God. I know that ain't popular in 2021, but Brother Jackie, I'm telling you, I'm for programs. We're starting a program tonight. Family Bible School. I'm for that. I'm 100% for that. But that ain't going to help nobody if the preaching of the Word of God don't help nobody. We can have the greatest facilities in the world and simply have another social meeting place. But if your heart's going to get helped, it's going to come at the end of the Word of God being delivered to you. Because that's where help comes from. These people heard it. They were helped, and they got willing to get involved. This morning, don't be one of them people that comes in and crosses your arms and hardens your heart and says, there ain't nothing there. Hey, listen, won't you be one of them people that comes in and says, I'm willing. If God can help me, if God can speak to me, I'm willing. Hey, that's a heart God can help. By the way, I didn't choose preaching. God did. That was God's choice. And whether I like it or whether you like it or not, preaching is the method God chose to help His people. That's right. Many will think, well, if I give God my heart, God's going to send me to the bush in Africa. He's going to send me way out to you, God. If I give God my all, He's going to send me to Papua New Guinea, where there's naked people and spear-throwing people. And I just can't do that. Hey, listen. It ain't all. God ain't going to call everybody to places like that. God knows what you can handle and what you can't. You ain't in no danger giving God your heart. There's a military slogan I'm sure you'll be familiar with. All gave some, but some gave all. You ever heard that? That's true. That's a true statement. But here's the whole of that statement. All did give some, and some did give all. But the some who gave their all, they actually laid their life down, gave, shed their blood, and gave. But the all who gave some were willing to give all when they signed the dotted line. They had no guarantee that they weren't going to have to give all. They signed up. They said, count me in. I'm willing to give some, and if that requires my all, I'll give it. My point in saying that is simply this. We think it's only the Delta Force and the Army Rangers, the Green Berets and the Navy SEALs, the elite forces in the spiritual things of God, those in hierarchy that can do something for God. And that is not true. Did you know Army Rangers and Navy SEALs and those in the Delta Force and the Green Berets could never do their job, never accomplish their mission if it was not for those like Brother Steve who worked in the Navy and was there in the cafeteria and what'd you call it? Yeah, in the galley and cooking, and if it wasn't for those who would drive and build tanks and build planes and the electricians and the doctors, and it takes everybody is my point. It takes everybody. It takes all of them. And it takes all of us. There's no elite groups in the kingdom of God. You are just as important as the preacher. You're just as important as the deacon, as the teacher. You say, I just can't do it. I just can't give God everything. You don't know what you can and can't do until you get willing to do it. You know how often we quit ahead of time because we just thought it was going to be too hard and too much? I'm sure if you was to go to heaven this morning and put a microphone in Peter's mouth and say, Peter, did you really think before the day you got willing to walk on water that you could do it? Absolutely not. And the Word of God's filled with people who thought they couldn't. Matter of fact, the man of God in this text, Moses, said, I can't preach, I can't talk, I can't even get my words out. Over and over and over through the Word of God is filled with people who couldn't in their own thought and ingenuity and power, but with the help and hand of God, they could and did accomplish great and mighty things. And so can you. But you will never accomplish anything for God if you ain't got the right heart. That's where it starts. And how do you get a right heart? Number one, you got to have a willing heart. These people were willing. If we only operate in the realm of what we think and know we can do, we will never need the help of God for anything. If you can do it, you don't need God. So therefore, you got to do things beyond your control and out of your power if you're going to have the help and hand of God. That's why we rarely see supernatural things around here. We've learned to do church in and of ourselves. We've learned how to do church. We've learned how to sing and how to preach and how to look like a good church. I'm going to tell you something. That is absolutely useless. That has no power to it. That can change nobody. It takes the power of God to save one soul. It don't matter how good we look. It don't matter how good we sound. It takes the power of God to save anybody. It takes the power of God to do anything eternal. Yes. We got to get willing to be part of something outside of our comfort zone. That's so true. What are you saying? I'm saying get in the choir. Sing a special. Go soul winning. Get a handful of tracks. Up your faith promise. How about this? I'll throw this out on ground level. Come to church 3 times a week. Wow, what a thought. I just don't know if I can do that. Get willing. You never will till you get willing. Some of you, your excuse used to be, well, I work. Now you don't work no more. What's your excuse now? Don't get hard on that. Be willing. I'm telling you the truth. Hey, this kind of preaching used to not bother you. It ain't some out of bounds, way out in left field kind of preaching to say God expects you to be in His house 3 times a week. No, that's the Bible. Hebrews 10:25. Yes. Do something that will challenge your will and work on your power and get willing. If you ain't willing, then tell God you ain't willing. Because He already knows. Tell Him. Pray like that man in the Bible. So, Lord, I believe. Help all my unbelief. You might as well tell Him. Did you really think you was hiding that from Him? He sees. He knows. He hears. So tell Him. Matter of fact, He's the only one that can help you with that. If you're not willing, who you think is going to get you willing? God. I can't. I've tried. I've wasted a lot of time trying to get people willing to do stuff they ain't willing to do. And I know that, my friend. You talking about supernatural acts? That is an act of God. To get unwilling people to get willing. And that's a heart matter. It's a heart matter. There's some people in the service right now, I feel it. You bristled up, boy, like, whoo, you don't like this. You don't like this at all. Guess what? Guess what? If you're not liking this and receiving this, guess what this morning? I don't say this mean-spirited. I say this honestly. You're in trouble. This is not hard preaching. This is not anything close to hard preaching. If this bothers you, you should be bothered. And not with the one preaching it, but with the one hearing it. While you're bothered and sitting here all stiff and mad and don't like it, there's other people, a host of other people sitting in the same service who are loving it and saying, amen. Boy, that's truth. That's right. I remember, speaking of doing things outside your comfort zone and becoming willing, having a willing heart, I remember when God saved me. By the way, you used to be willing. If you're saved, you had to come to a place of willingness in the heart. You can't get saved outside of that. There had to come an end to self and to what you wanted and what you desired and you calling the shots, and you had to come to the end of you. And I remember that day in my life when I said, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get saved. And from that time till now, I ain't always been willing, but God put in me a willing heart. And I remember through my life, listen, please hear me right here. I got saved. I finally got willing, but then after I got saved, He called me to preach. I remember that. Down at Brown's Chapel, I remember Him putting His hand on me and saying, I want you to preach. You know what I did? It wasn't long after I was saved. You know what I did? I said, I don't want to, but I'm willing. That same willing heart that said yes to Jesus, said yes to whatever He wanted me to do.
Amen.
And there have been times, Brother Ned, that same willing heart wasn't willing no more. I'm sad to report that, but that's the truth. But just this morning, if you want an updated testimony, I woke up and rolled out of the bed. Matter of fact, Jenny will testify to this. My alarm went off about 4 something this morning, and my heart wasn't so willing. I hit the snooze button. I wasn't wanting to get up. I was sleepy. I just got good in the sleep and bam, there it was. Waking me up. I wasn't willing. But you know what? It went off 1 or 2 more times and I said, all right, God's wanting me to do something. You know what? I'm willing. I ain't capable, I ain't able, I ain't good at it, but Lord, if you can use something like me, I'll get up and I'll try for the glory of God.
Amen.
That happened today. I remember when He saved me, called me to preach. I got willing. Hey, you young preachers, listen to me. I mean it right here. I didn't just start pastoring a church when He called me to preach.
That's right.
You know what I did? I got willing to go wherever he opened the door, and I would open them. I went to the nursing homes. I went to the jails. I went to the prisons. I went to the assisted living and was faithful at it. When people didn't even know what I was saying, when they didn't understand me, when they would cuss at me and talk off the wall because they were out of their mind. You know what? I didn't let that deter me. I kept going back. I was willing to be used, whatever, amen, wherever, to whoever he would let me preach to. Amen. And the more I became willing, the more doors opened. And then I said, Lord, a church called me and had me to come preach about an hour and a half from where we lived, little old, about 11 people. It was a church of God out in the middle of nowhere, Edge Hill, Georgia. The smallest town in Georgia, literally. And we drove out there for, what, about a year and a half? Every other Sunday. And then I started every Sunday. We drive all the way out there to 11 people. They wasn't nothing. They wasn't no bright lights and names on the marquee to that, friend. I wasn't doing that for self-reputation. No, I was doing that because I was willing. Amen. And you know what God did? God saved a 93-year-old man.
Amen.
And showed me why he had me going out there. Meanest man around. Run 11 preachers off from that place. Cussed me many times. Stood up on the first service. He stood up back there. It's 15 to 12. It's time for me to go home. Wham! Slammed the door while I was preaching. I said, well, you reckon? What a blessing. But I didn't let that kill my will. I didn't let that stop me. I let that motivate me. And I said, Lord, I'm willing to keep going. And I kept going and kept going. And guess who he wanted to call when the Lord got to dealing with his heart? It was that person who had a willing heart. That preacher who didn't give up and quit every time it got hard. And he called me, shaking voice, preacher, reckon the Lord would save me. I said, he sure would. And he did, and that man got gloriously saved. 93. Do you know how close to hell he was?
Yeah.
Do you know how few 93-year-old people get saved? Their heart's usually so hard by 93, they will never get saved. And God reached out and saved that man. I got to baptize. That's the first time I got to baptize him. I was baptizing him in the river. I like to drown him and me both. I did. There's pictures of it. I put that man down in there, and I was up to here in mud, and he was out there over his head, and there's veins popping out my neck. I'm trying to save that man from going on down the river. He was 93. He couldn't help me do nothing. He was just there, floating. Thought I'd done killed a man. Hey, I'd have never been here preaching this morning if I hadn't went there. And you will never get to your destiny where God wants you until you get willing to preach and be a Christian where you are. Serve where you are. Brother Alex, I love you, but you'll never get to Iceland if you don't start telling people around here about Jesus. I feel ashamed to tell people to give me money to go be on the mission field and I wouldn't be faithful to witness to people in my community. Furthermore, I'd be ashamed to be a Christian. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? I tell you what, you don't know probably the biggest failure in our church. Newsflash, here it is. We are failing at getting the gospel out. We rejoice in that lighthouse and missions, and I do. But we are hypocrites here in this church. Because we have no problem signing a check and sending it around the world for other people to tell other people about Jesus. But God ain't called you across the sea, but he has called you across the street.
Amen.
I've been looking at that track rack back there, and those tracks, they ain't moving. Now, I ain't the only one noticing that.
Amen.
But how hard is it to get a handful of tracks and at least put your tip in a track and witness to a waiter or a waitress?
Amen.
Well, you'll know what's causing that? Heart condition. We've got hard to the fact that sinners are really dying and going to hell. It don't bother us no more. We got family Hey, you got family that are lost, headed for hell, wide, I mean breakneck speed, nosediving toward hell. And we'll go, we'll sit down with them, we'll fellowship with them, we'll have meals with them, and never mention the name Jesus.
Amen.
And you telling me we don't have a heart problem?
Amen.
We better get willing. Better get willing. Oh me. And that leads to the next one, which is a wise heart. I'm just going to be done shortly. A willing heart, you got to get the willing before you can ever become wise. Same context. Look at verse 25. And all the women, and if you look through here, the wise heart is mentioned more than any other heart. They got willing. That was in there several times. But then get looking at how wise God filled their heart with wisdom over and over. And all the women that were wise hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine linen, and all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 36, that closes 35, verse 1. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholab and every wise-hearted man, there it is again, wise-hearted man, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord hath put wisdom, and even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Do you see what happened? Once they got a willing heart, God began adding the wisdom to the heart. They become willing, and God began putting the wisdom. By the way, that's the only place you can get wisdom. You can get willing, but God has to do the wisdom imparting. Listen to this. This is too good to leave without it. We've now graduated from the general willingness, just the general willingness to serve God, to a specific understanding of what God wants directly from them. First, they just was bringing everything. I mean, whatever they had, they were bringing it and giving it. Now, that willing heart in the general realm, God got to pouring wisdom into their heart and saying, okay, now that you've been willing in the general areas, I'm going to give you wisdom to show you specifically what I want you to do. Don't expect to give God to give new light and fresh light and more vision when we ain't walking in the vision He's given us. Don't expect God to reveal more to you. God ain't come down from heaven with a new revelation for your life, for what's going to go on next month and next year, when He's already told us what we ought to be doing now, and we ain't doing that. But when they got willing, God began pouring wisdom. The wise heart. The only way they was able to see the specific will of God was to first walk through the door of willingness. These men was about to do specific tasks for God. Some were going to build poles for the temple, some ropes, some curtains, all kinds of things. Just read it. I don't have time to deal with all of it. But more than being willing to just bring stuff, now they was going to melt this stuff down that they brought and make stuff out of it for the glory of God. They wouldn't know how to do that unless God give them the wisdom to do it. They want God to speak and call and lay out their specifics and what all He wants to do in their lives. But you got to get willing first. No matter what He wants, before He will give specifics, you got to get willing to do whatever He needs. Do what He wants now, no matter how small. Hey, I don't brag on Stephen much. I don't want to blow his head up. But this boy, hey, I appreciate you, Stephen. I mean that. I'll tell him, Stephen, I need you to stay after and wait till everybody leaves church while everybody else is home eating. And you done burped and laid down. And this boy's still up here waiting on everybody to leave the church so he can cut the lights out and lock the doors and make sure everything's done right. You know why he does that? So I don't have to do it. That's small. That's unseen. Nobody ever says anything about it, but he's willing to do it and he's faithful at it. I appreciate that. I mentioned something about these altars being dirty. I saw some shoe spots on them. He come up here with a wash rag and soap and washed every inch of these altars. You know why? He's willing to do small, unseen things that nobody's going to give a round of applause for. That's just one person. I'm saying, hey, God's pouring wisdom in his life. I see it. I see God filling his heart with wisdom. Listen to him preach. It ain't the average preacher. You know why? Because he's got a willing heart, and God's pouring wisdom into that heart, and God's using him for his glory. And I'm not saying that God ain't doing that for y'all. JD helps a lot. These men help a lot. I'm just saying we all should be willing and not expect God to do something spectacular in the future. Hey, listen, if we won't just do what he's wanting us to do now, get faithful in little things. Amen. That's some of the best advice you'll ever get. This ain't some deep doctrine of eschatology. But if you'll get faithful in little things, that builds into big things. And if you can't be faithful in little things, you'll never be faithful at big things. If God can't trust you with little things, he won't trust you with big things. And I know some of you are just on the edge of your seat, dying to know what little things are. I'll tell you something little. It's a little thing in your life to get up in the morning and read your Bible daily. Seems little. Takes little time just to do it faithfully every day. But you may not read but a verse or a chapter, but you do it. And the devil, he makes that thing look so small and insignificant and like, why are you wasting your time? God ain't even spoke to you in a month. Why would you even do it? I promise you, it matters. You're going to change your life? Get in your Bible every day. Don't let nothing detour you. Small, but it leads to big. Pray. That's another one. Oh, it's just 5 minutes. That 5 minutes will radically change your life. By the way, if it's so small, why ain't you doing it? If it's such a little thing, oh, it ain't 5 minutes. Well, let's see you do them 5 minutes every day. I had so much more, but I can tell some of y'all are filled up to the gill. I done hit on this. I just said and leave. It's little to get back to church. That ain't no major accomplishment. You ain't done God no major favor just to get back to his house. Small. But oh, it's so big. Nobody that's ever been faithful to God in his house, nobody has ever regretted it. But I can give you personally people who have wept in my hands and laid on my shoulders and begged God to forgive them because they got unfaithful to his house and it led to a mess in their life. Oh, be willing. Let God give you wisdom this morning. Over the small things. Goodness. Let me skip down. Y'all just got, because I run out of time, y'all got to get over probably the hardest part of this message. And I wanted to give it so bad, but the Lord ain't going to let me. Lastly, and I'm not going to preach this, I'm just going to tell it to you. But they had a willing heart, they had a wise heart, and number three, this is how you have a right heart. They had a wired heart. Verse 2 in chapter 36, and Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab, and I wasn't speaking in tongues, by the way. And every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart, listen, stirred him up. Their heart got stirred up. They got wired up. They got excited about what they were doing. That's how they were able to give more than was needed. If we just come in ho-hum, oh, I reckon I can thirst God. I reckon I could come back tonight. Is that what you needed? No, they got fired up about it. They got stirred. You know what make it easy to get back to church? Get stirred up. Let your heart get stirred up. But you'll never get wired up until you get full of wisdom in your heart, and you'll never get full of wisdom unless you get willing. You ain't gonna be excited about nothing going on. They some people, I'm done. They some people sit in this church and the scowl on your face would make anybody think, well, if that's serving Jesus with joy, I don't want no part of it. If that's being a Christian, you say, well, God looks on the heart. Yeah, He does, but people don't. You don't believe that? Okay, God bless your little heart. Let me follow you to the grocery store tomorrow. And you go by the banana pile. Go to the banana aisle. And let's see how many brown nanners you buy. No, you're going to get that bright fluorescent yellow one. You know why? It ain't the inside that matters. No, you want the good inside, but it's that outside that appeals to you. That's what we look at. And we as people, all we can see is the outside. When you come to church and you fold your arm and you just look and you go by and you tell, I can't believe they're doing that. Blah, 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 blah. And you just gripe and complain. Hey, and by the way, have you not caught on yet? Whoever you think is your best friend, that you feel like you can complain about everything to that's been done wrong, did you not realize they coming and telling me everything you say? They don't like it either. And I ain't talking about what I'm doing. They don't like hearing your mouth. Stop. You ain't helping nobody. You're hurting yourself. And you're showing yourself. You're showing how hard your heart is. And you're hurting good people. People that used to look up to you are now wondering what in the world happened to you. And all you can do is criticize and gripe and complain. There ain't nothing exciting about that. But you get your heart stirred, get willing to get involved in the things of God and say, by the grace of God, if you'll give me wisdom, Lord, I'll be willing. And you wire me up and get me fired up about the church and what's going on here. And I promise you, He'll supply just like happened for them. We'll have more than we need. More teachers, more singers, more money, more offerings, more talent. We'll have more. I won't be looking and have sent out a search committee to do some particular task. There'll be people standing in line saying, I'm willing. Use me. That's what we need. That's what we need. You have a right heart this morning. Let's stand. I held you way long this morning. I'm sorry. Not really. It didn't kill you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You remember, you've all heard this, but you remember the old country church that caught fire, was burning to the ground, and the preacher come out, and sure enough, there was the town drunk, gazing and watching, had been invited hundreds of times, he'd never come. And the preacher said, of all days, we ain't even having service today. I ain't preaching. Ain't nobody singing of all the times. You going to come today? What made you come today? He said, preacher, I ain't never seen the church on fire before. You know why people don't come? Because we're satisfied with how things are. They see us excited, fired up, wired up, a heart that's full of God, a group of people that's willing, have willing hearts, willing to serve, willing to jump in wherever needed. God pours wisdom into our hearts. God wires us up in a way that we will be willing and wanting to serve. God has something for you to do today. Have you figured that out? How are you serving God this morning? I'm a preacher. That's what God's called me to do. What are you doing? And I'm not saying that to belittle you, but God has something for everybody to do. It may not be preaching. It may not be singing. It may not be teaching. But God has a work for you to do. He might want you at the job being a Christian man or a woman, faithful to Him, tender-hearted, loves people, faithful to your church. We need that. What are you doing? How long has it been since you've been willing to say, God, whatever it is, wherever it is, I'm willing. However you want to use me, I'll come, I'll bow before you this morning, and I'll let you know I'm willing. You come. Would you come? These altars are full. You come. People doing business with God.
There was nothing I wouldn't do for Him.
Amen, Lord.
No place I wouldn't go.
You come, do business.
I always serve.
Get willing. Get willing.
Each day on Him I'd call.
Would you come?
To think that I could one day stray made no sense to me at all.
People doing business, don't you miss out?
But somehow my steps faltered.
There's plenty of room. Come.
I've somehow wavered from my stand. I know I'm still His child, but how I long to feel His hand. Lord, I'm tired of being a dampened fire that rarely burns at all. Help me to shine the light for Jesus' sake and get up each time I fall. Lord, I know I can't do everything, but I need a place to start. Bring back the burden that once moved my heart.
Amen.
We may feel our lives are finished, that we'll never overcome this weakness in our life that takes away our strength to run. But the emptiness inside you doesn't always have to be. His desire for us is still the same, and He's waiting patiently. So no matter what we think or feel, it's time we make our claim. We must go back to where we were when we first called on His name. Lord, I'm tired of being a dampened fire that rarely burns at all. Help me to shine the light for Jesus' sake and get up each time I fall. Lord, I know I can't do everything, but I need a place to start. Bring back the burden that once moved my heart. Lord, I know I can't do everything, but I need a place to start. Bring back the burden that once moved.